My name is Tobiasz Koprowski. I'm originally Polish, so my accent could be a little bit, I think, no problem with understanding, yes? Yeah. A little bit Russian accent, because my first foreign language was Russian. I'm originally Polish. I live in Nottingham, UK. How many of you are first time at the Ignite? Me too. Great. Thank you very much, first timers. Okay. Short about me, independent consultant, security licensing auditor. I have my own company in UK, working with the SQL Server, SharePoint, Azure, security. I had a big pleasure to wrote one of the chapter for the SQL Server MVP Deep Dives, the second edition. Have anyone got this book? No one? Okay. We wrote this book with the group of the Microsoft MVP SQL Server MVPs, and all of the money which we collect, we send for the charities, so for the kids. So that's about the book. Blogging from time to time. 10 years I spent in data center, and around 8 years actually working around the ICT and banking systems. Okay. Short agenda, something about the security, best practices, enhancement for 2014, 2016, and of course, security in the cloud, some summaries, and of course, demo. Okay, what is the security? If we can a little bit interact, there are not the thousands of people in my room, so if we can a little bit interact. What is the security? And ideas. Okay, why are you at this session? Yeah, to know something a little bit, yes? Okay. How many of you are DBAs? Okay. What is your responsible looking for the security? What you do daily? Audits? Okay. Something else? Some procedures, some restrictions, encryption, some of you maybe, okay. So, security, securing systems, securing data, securing our environment, securing everything. Is it security, is it subject or not? What do you think? More or less, depends, yes, okay, more or less. Why we secure our data? We should have some attackers. We should have someone who wants to get some information. There was a security breach a couple of days ago, yes? The biggest internet, okay, the biggest provider in the United States, probably, if I know good, yes? Yahoo. Okay, 500 million accounts. It's a huge amount? A little bit. I see the comments that, okay, this is a very, very big number of the accounts. Some of the people are still surprised that Yahoo have that many accounts. Yeah? Okay. So, what is it? Degree of resistance or protection from harm for our data? Apply any vulnerability and for assets, like a person, dwelling, community, nation, organization, and so on and so on. Is anyone here who read that kind of documents, open source security testing methodology manual? One person? You should go for that page. Of course, there will be the links. This is very, very good documents created by the open source community, created by the community to explain what kind of security features we should apply for our systems, for our environment, for our applications. It's a very, very nice document, especially that is free. You don't need to pay for that. Okay, if we can categorize security a little bit. IT realm, application security, computing security, data security, which of those is a little bit close to you? Data security, application security. How many of you are developers? Some of the DBA, some of the developers. Is the security, is the implementing security inside your environment when you write the application, is it important part? Yes. How you check that? What methodology you use to check that your application which you write is secure? Do you use some patterns? Do you use some testing methodology? Probably yes, probably yes. So we can categorize in IT realm. But it's not only that part. Physical realm. Airport security, location security, home security. Why is this important? How many of you travel? Not only to commuting to work, but around the country, around the world? Some of you, yes? How you feel, how safe you feel, for example, at the airports? Pretty safe, yes? Especially after you cross the security check. Yes? Okay, how about Wi-Fi on airports? How many of you use public Wi-Fi available on airports for free or for some small amount or for adverts, just for adverts, instead of having your Wi-Fi, your connection? We do this, yes? We always try to connect. We connect probably most of you, maybe not all of you, but probably most of you connect for this conference free Wi-Fi instead of using your coverage, yes? Because it's free. Still works, yes? Still works. Home security, physical security, port security, school security, and so on and so on. Why home security is important? In connecting of databases, in connecting of data, what do you think? How many of you work from home? Couple of you, yes? Most of you, okay. How you protect your network at home? How are you hardening your Wi-Fi? How are you hardening your routers at home? We always can see that a lot of users use just the default settings provided by the provider, yes? Delivered by the provider. Standard admin user and passwords. Because it's easy. Yeah? Because it's easy and it works. How many of you don't use Wi-Fi at home, but use wire cables? Why? Faster? Okay, the speed? Something else? Mm-hmm. More secure, yes, at home, especially if you work from your desk. It's not a problem to connect the cables. Even here there are some cables. Okay, so physical realm. Political realm. A lot of things happening around the world. So we have a homeland security, human security, international security, a national security, and so on and so on. Public security. When we work outside the company, outside our office, when we work outside our home, do you work, for example, from cafe like Starbucks from time to time? Some of you not, some of you yes. Yes, it's good. They have a good, okay, pretty good coffee. Yeah? I try to be, you know, pretty good coffee and free Wi-Fi. And they have a power connection and they have a tables. Everything what we need. Yes? How do you feel in that place, in the Starbucks? Is it a safe place? More or less, yes. When you finish, okay, when you finish your work, for example, 6, 7, 8 p.m., going to downtown, is the downtown the safe place? I heard some of the opinions about the downtowns in U.S. Sometimes they are not that safe, yes? So all of those things, and of course, a lot of things happens around the political things now. Okay. Combining all of those together, categorizing security for SQL Server, application, computing, data, information, network, home infrastructure, physical infrastructure, national security, public security, all of those. Enough, just for the beginning. Okay, what kind of best practices for security you know for SQL Server? Could you give me some examples? disable SA account. How many of you do that? Okay, half of you, okay. What, something else? Encryption, okay. Something else? Okay, we'll go with the 10 best practices. Probably you know this very, very well. Is it a myth? Efficiency and security have an inverse relationship to another. You can have high efficiency or high security, but not both. Do you agree? Maybe, yes, maybe not. Depends on our budget. But always security is a little bit costly. Sometimes it's very costly. Yes? How encryption is costly? What kind of SQL Server edition you need to have to run encryption? Enterprise. So you need to pay the license for that. So it's costly, yes? So example like a small bank, we have a cost limitations, like a first and obvious reason, of course. We have a risk. We not always consider the decisions for the risk, what kind of assets are important for us, what kind of assets are less important. We have some personal limitations. If you work in the big company, probably you have we have a very big IT department. We have several DBAs, so one of those people could be responsible for security. But if you work for the small company, for small client, maybe it's just the one person who do all of those things. SQL Server, SharePoint, Windows, all of those. So that person have no time to focus directly for the security settings. And of course, regulatory emphasis. So all of those things which came for us from the government. Okay, authentication. Very, very simple, yes? Kerberos, which should start to be default methods of authentication. How many of you use Kerberos? It's very, very good. Why is using the Kerberos is good option? Looking for the future of the Windows systems. The Microsoft slowly changing the standard authentication from NTLM to Kerberos. NTLM is still available in 2016, Windows Server, but we don't know what will happen in 2018. Probably NTLM will be depreciated. So if you don't use the Kerberos now, it's good time to start to learn how to use it. And working with the Kerberos and SQL Server is not that easy. And of course, mixed mode authentication supports when sometimes we use SQL Server authentication. For what reason? When we have a legacy application, for example, when we have to use the SQL authentication. So the good advice is to use Windows authentication mode unless legacy application need to use mixed authentication for backward compatibility. This is the one of those. Secure sysadmin accounts, yeah? Okay, delete sysadmin accounts or change the name, which is better? Change the name, yes? Deleting is not that good option, but I saw this once in one of my customers. So they try to, after that, rebuild the environment, yes? Because someone decided to delete the SA account without any other accounts for the administration, okay? So, of course, changing the SA accounts is very, very simple. We can use the Management Studio, T-SQL. Half of you just do this. Use complex passwords. Very, very nice subject. This is an example of the 25 most popular passwords in last year based on the Kaspersky Labs. They are not, as you see, they are not changing that much. No change, no change. Okay, some of down, no change. And some new. Why do we have a new passwords like baseball, dragon, football? What is the reason that we have more passwords like that one? Sorry?
Easy to remember,
yes, but why do people decide to use, for example, baseball or football? In UK, they use rugby last year. certain sports around, and the people, okay, this is a rugby now, so let's create something, and the password will be rugby. I will remember because I went for the rugby match, for example, yes? So this is very, very connected with the things which happen around our environment, yeah? So, of course, ensure that complex passwords are used for SSH and other SQL Server specific logins. Think about enforce expiration and must change for any SQL logins. How many of you set up of this? Three people, okay? It's your decision or it's someone advised you to do that? It was your decision? Yeah? Okay. It's very, very good option to enforce expiration date. Specific logins. When we install SQL Server, we should use the specific logins for the specific services. Yes? That's true. How many of you don't do that? No one is brave. No one is brave enough, yes? But you probably know that you can find some of the environment when you have just the one account for all of those services. Especially that the accounts have a high less privileges, even in Active Directory. Why? Because we are a little lazy and everything will work under administration accounts, yes? So setting some of the special accounts, like, for example, SQL Engine, SQL Agent, services accounts, and so on and so on. Sysadmin membership. Member of sysadmin fixed role can do whatever they want on the SQL Server. By default, sysadmin fixed role has a control server permission granted explicitly. So we should a little bit manage this group, this membership for the accounts. How many of you, after installation of SQL Server, look for the users and the accounts which are in that group? Two, three people, four, almost this, five. Okay, I can count more, six, okay. This is a very good option, the hardening SQL Server after installation to check what exactly accounts, what exactly logins we have in some groups, which could have some privileges. A general administration. Almost everything works under SA accounts, especially control server. So we should change this, of course. We should institute dedicated Windows login for DBAs, yes? So how many of you create additional logging for the DBA instead of using SA, and then disable the SA account? More people. So this is very, very good advice to go in with that way. Okay, we need to spend a little bit more time for do this, okay, couple of minutes, and make, of course, some notice in the documentation to know that we make some that kind of changes. But it's very, very good to create that options. Revoke guest access. Each of the database, by default, have a guest account. Are the accounts are disabled or enabled in the database? It's disabled by default, yes? But if someone create a schema when they change some of the settings inside, it could happen that our guest accounts could be enabled, or maybe someone enabled these accounts for some reasons. So it's good advice to check from time to time auditing our databases about the guest accounts to check where they are. Of course, they are on all of the databases, and we can disable all of the guest accounts from all user and system databases, excluding MSDB. What will happen when you disable guest accounts in MSDB? Any ideas? You will have a problem with schema with creating any other databases. Yes? Right. Limit public permissions. Store procedures, of course, in the SQL Server, they exist. And many, many of them, they have a public access permissions. That means that any login with the public access can do something with those store procedures. There is in SQL Server 16 CTP3, which I checked the last time, was almost 1,500 stored procedures which have the public access permission. So bring a lot of numbers, of course, and we need to check all of, okay, it's not that easy to check all of those, yes? 1,500 stored procedures, which should have a public access or which should not have. But we need to know that they exist. And in some cases, we can auditing and check this. And of course, revoke the access. Hardening SQL Server ports, changing the default ports, 1433, 1434, for something else. How many of you do that? Couple of you. Okay, we cannot do this sometimes when we have, for example, legacy application or when we work with Azure. Because in Azure, we have to use default ports. So we cannot change the port. But we need to focus on the firewall and talk with the security guys to protect this account, this port, those ports for our environment. But if it's possible, we can change the SQL Server port. Disable SQL Server Browser. By default, SQL Server Browser is disabled. When we need to use SQL Server Browser functionality? To resolve instances, yes, if we have many instances on one server and you log in from the remote service, remote places. But if we have something like that, we need to use SQL Server Browser. But if we don't have that requirement, we should disable this. Yes, some hardening, if it's possible. Secure service accounts. So not only the accounts for the users, for the admins, but the services accounts, which should be, of course, low privileges accounts, which should be Active Directory accounts instead of local accounts, right? Yes, they should be Active Directory. We should check the membership on a regular basis. One of the attendees said that we do auditing, so auditing from time to time, what's happening with our accounts. And of course, use trunk on the different passwords for each account. This is most tricky point, especially that from my perspective as a DBA, sometimes I'm a little bit lazy. So even on my machine here, I have maybe not the one password for all of the accounts, but not that many passwords which I should have, yes? We create, for example, one password for some of the service accounts and so on. If we have several servers, in multiple servers in our environment, what we should do? Generally, in the best option, we should create, for example, when you create the SQL agent, SQL engine, SQL SRIS, for example, accounts, we should create a different accounts and different passwords for each of those servers. Yeah, because if we use the same, if someone gets access for this account, they can travel across our environment. So we should even block this per server. The better will be even per instance. Yes, even if we have a different multiple instances on our server. Yes, but again, we need to spend a little bit time for creating this. Okay. Some demos. How many of you use Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer? One person, okay. Let me check. Not now. I ran this just 1 hour ago on my machine. I have some problems with the security on my machine, on my demo machine, yes? What kind of problems I get? Just, this is a free tool. I just make a scan across my machine and I just found some information. Windows, like automatic updates are not set up automatically, which of course is not recommended, right? So we see something red here, but this is good. It should be red. There is some exceptions, yeah? But what kind of information I find here for one of my instances? All of the worst scenarios, yes? Some services should not be member of administrative or the local accounts group, for example. Enable password expiration for the some of the SQL Server accounts, which is not enabled, so the passwords never expired. Sysadmin, more than 2 number of sysadmin are present. SQL Server security mode, authentication mode is set to SQL Server and for the MSDN for the Windows. So what kind of information we can get from this report? What I should change? I give you one more example. Even I have that one. I have some problems with the folder permissions. They are not set properly. So maybe I set up the public access or the too big access for some of the folders when I store my data in SQL Server. The first one, CMD exec role, error reading registry. What do you think? Why I got this error on this scan? No ideas? My SQL agent doesn't work. So they cannot get access for that registry, which they need to use for making some of the job, like a backup and so on and so on. So very simple tool, which from my perspective, it's, again, one more time, strongly recommended to use. Instead of using a standard, okay, you can use standard auditing, but you need to know what you want to audit. This you can run across your environment. I run, of course, on my local machine, but you can run across your environment, and you can get information about all of the situation, all of the instances. Even you get information if some of the users create a special instance somewhere. Did you got this situation that some of the users create an additional database sometimes? Yes? So we can find all of this information. Very, very good tool. Okay. SQL Server 2014 security. Transparent data encryption. Some of you use encryption. Yes? How long you use encryption? From which version? 2012, 2008, 2005, first introduced into SQL Server 2008. Anyway, yes, it will be really hard. You can make some of the encryption like with the third-party tools for SQL Server 2005, of course, databases, but not directly transparent data encryption, yes? But generally, protecting data by performing I/O encryption and decryption for database and log files. We can use different levels of the protection. Fast phrase, which is the less secure. Asymmetric key, we can use symmetric key, and of course the certificates, which is the best options, which is the most secure. The new functionality for the SQL Server 2014 and 2016 is connecting with the transparent data encryption and backup. Because they take non-encrypted backup data first, encrypt data before writing to the disk. And compression is performed on the backup data first, and then encryption is applied to compressed data. And even better, we can send all of those together to Azure Blob Storage. So a lot of functionalities are added to the transparent data encryption. Encryption key management includes encryption algorithms and a certificate asymmetric key. So we have a different options, of course. Only asymmetric key reside in encryption key management is supported now. Why we use this? Have anyone use encryption key management? No? We will use this for the new functionality for SQL Server 16. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Multiple algorithms, manageable by PowerShell. But when we manage the encryption key, very, very important things. key or certificates must be backed up immediately after we create. Location must be different than backup location. Why? Because there is no restore without asymmetric key or certificate if we lost this. So for security reason, we should have a different places when we skip our certificates and encryption key. And of course, different place when we store the backup. And if we lost our encryption key, we will not have any chance to restore our data from the backup if the data are encrypted with that certificate. Connect any database, there are three server-level permissions for SQL Server 14. Grant connect any database to a login that must connect to all databases currently exist and any new in the future. Does not grant any permission in any database beyond the connect. Very, very nice functionality. And we can, of course, set up several different options combined, like, for example, select all user executables, view server state, and so on and so on. One of those three good new functionality for SQL Server 14. Impersonate any login. As a developer, you probably use this in the application. As a standard DBAs, you use this too. What is the impersonate any login functionality? We can run something in the name of someone or the other accounts, yes? Run as something. So this functionality has been added for SQL Server 14. When granted impersonate any login, allows a middle tier process to impersonate the account of the clients connecting to it. Like example, control server permission can be blocked from impersonating other logins. And another one, one person said that they do auditing. Yes? How many of you use audits? Two, three, four, five. Okay. This functionality could be good for you. When granted, select all user executables for a login. For example, for auditing purposes, the auditor, the login, can view data in all databases that the user can connect to, in the way that the user see and connect to the data. It's very good functionality if you have external auditors. So for example, is anyone who work with the company like who have ISO 27001 certification for securing data? Anyone? Okay. For example, I work in the company which had that certification. When the external auditor came yearly to check our security, they ask, for example, okay, give me access for your data in the databases. I want to look how the data are secure. Can I trust this auditor? No. I have no idea what is the skills of this auditor. Yeah? So I can give, for example, that kind of permissions, and of course, selective permissions, so they can see the data in the way on the users, but they cannot do anything else. And they cannot go to the other, for example, databases. Yes? And of course, SQL Server Express Security. We still use Express for some reasons, and this Express is pretty good secured. There is a separate instance. The sysadmin privileges are only on the local machine, and of course, running as a process. Okay. Another part of demo. So, how many of you never use transparent data encryption? For some reason, you don't need that, or it was too difficult to use? What is the reason? Most, yeah? Versions of the SQL Server, okay. Maybe we don't need that. That's natural. So, enabling encryption in SQL Server is very, very easy. What we need to have? Master key encryption, of course. So I choose the sum of the passwords. Master key, the encryption key for the encryption, and our certificate. So I have a certificate in our environment now. The next part, save a copy of the certificate. The copy should be in a different place. What is the kind of the location? What is the location? It's a different location than my standard database, a little bit different location. It's not the location when they are root databases. It's not the location when it's the backup databases. This is not the location when I keep any kind of data. This is a special folder. Of course, it's for demo, so it's everything anyway is on my local machine. So save copy, backup certificate, and backup master key to file. Okay. Oops. Okay. Maybe I don't have that permission. Let me check. The path is okay. Should be okay. Yes or no? What is the wrong? Okay. No. Let me check. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see? Oh, sorry, my system is in Spanish. Hope you survive. Sorry. Yeah, it could be on. It should be on the file. Yes, but I can do this on the folder. Yes or no? Okay. Let's do. In this simple way. I have too many. Okay. Let's set up. Oh, it will be very complicated now. Okay. And I will, this is intentional. Because when we start to work with the transparent data encryption for the first time, we could forget about something, like for example, privileges to the files or settings for the folders, for access for the systems, yes? So we stuck with that, and we now need to resolve some of those things. It could be we don't have that much time. It could be even till the event party, yes? I will skip this, but it's intentionally, okay? So I have different instances which I have this implementation. I will show you later. Okay. Some of the security enhancements for the 16, which are important. Row-level security, very, very good functionality, when we can set up the special access for our data based on law using the special predicates, which enable, for example, enable customers to control access to rows in a database based on characteristic of existing user and the query. For example, if user is the member of the financial department, they can get some data from the SQL Server. If the user is from the IT department, we got this information from Active Directory and SQL Server know that information based on logins, user have no access for this data. We can set up by region. If the user, for example, in the big company works in United States, they will have access. If the user work in England, they will not have access for the data. We can set up different settings for this security. Examples, in the hospital can create a security policy that allows nurses to view data rows only for their own patients, based on the ID of the patient, for example. Bank can create a policy to restrict access to the rows for the financial data based on the employee's business division. So, because we don't want to give, I remember my time when I worked in a bank. I had access for the several accounts. I shouldn't have access for some of those accounts, but we didn't have that kind of implementation in our databases. So anyway, because I was a little bit smarter than my manager, so I got the access for this data anyway, which I shouldn't generally, yes? Dynamic data masking. Have you ever heard about? Yeah? It's very, very nice functionality. By default, we can use our mask for masking data inside our databases. For example, based on different data types, based on data, based on SQL variant, based on XML, and so on and so on. Example of that, like a credit cards. We can, for example, use that masking for the credit cards, and the users which don't have privileges, they will not see the number of the credit cards. Or we can, when you log in, this is, you maybe don't use that, but you are working with that. When you, for example, log in for any kind of website which you use, when you forgot the passwords, you click, okay, remember my password or reset my passwords, and you get the screen, okay, put your email address when the parts of the email address have a stars, for example, yes? So this is kind of dynamic data masking, which we use for the standard browsers and for the environment. And of course, random number, custom text, anything. We can change, like, for example, add prefix, add suffix, and so on and so on. And always encrypted. The third very good security implementation in SQL Server is the client-side encryption technology that ensures to sensitive data and related encryption key are never revealed to the SQL Server or SQL Azure databases. So generally speaking, data are always encrypted. When they're transferring to the application, when they're transferring to client, between SQL Server and Azure, the data are always encrypted. So application can do things with the data, but they cannot see the data. So they are always encrypted. This is the highest level of the encryption because we have a encryption inside the encryption. We have some kind of inception with the encryption because we use several keys and several encryptors for this functionality. But it's very easy to enable in the SQL Server. And we adding the, for example, layer for security for social security numbers, private healthcare, credit card information, and so on and so on. I will show you that just now, in a moment, how it works. Has anyone used dynamic data masking? No one? Okay. Yes? You going to implement, for example, yes? Okay. Okay. Where I am, here. So I have some of the instances, and I have an instance, for example, here, the Azure instance, the database in Azure. I can check that I have a connection for those. Let me check if I can do something. Anything. Okay, that's expected. So I just disconnect from that one, connect again. How many of you use this functionality? Use custom color for connecting for Management Studio? It's very nice functionality, very, very nice. Yeah, okay, good. So I choose the blue, okay, Azure, something blue, okay. Let's connect. This is a part of the security which is implemented now in SQL Server 16, 14, and 2012 after Service Pack 1 CU3. When I don't need to go for the SQL Azure to set up the firewall rules, I can do this via Management Studio. So I can use my credentials. And I need my phone. How many of you use multi-factor authentication? How many of you, keep hands. How many of you use multi-factor authentication for SQL Server? Oh, two people, okay. So I need to have my app on my phone and put something like that one. I never touch this one, sign frequently of this device. No. Okay. So now I'm authorized to connect using the firewall settings. And I can see my databases. Okay. So, Adventure works. Tables, sales, credit card, select top 1,000. By this user. Of course, the okay. All of the numbers, yes? Expected, because I'm admin. IMSA, so it's expected I have access. Okay, we have someone who should not have access for that one. What I can do? I'm switching first for the Azure, going for that server, for that database, Adventure Works 2012, dynamic data masking. There is no masking rules here, even I had before. So, sales, credit card number, add that mask, and that mask mask the first 12 numbers of my credit card. So the user will see just, or the user see just the last four digits. This is, how many of you are not from US? Huh. Those predicates are prepared for the United States market by default. So you cannot, you can use this for the credit cards. But for example, if you are from the different country, you don't have social security number, you have different number for the health something or for the security generally, yes? In Poland, we have a different numbers, we have a PESEL. So in that case, you can create your own mask based on your specific data if you don't have that prepared masked, implemented inside the Azure. So there is no problem, there is no limitation at all. It's just a little bit harder. So enabling the mask, save, successfully added. Okay. So when I back for my SQL Server, when I do the same, of course, result will be the same because I'm still SA. I still have access for that. So let's do what we need to do. New. Query. Okay. I need to do two things. In the MasterDB on Azure, I need to create the login, which I use later for checking these masks. Or I can check with, for example, with the password. That's okay. Then I need to add the access for that login reader Ignite. Okay. Then I need to connect to my Azure, AdventureWorks database when I add this user with the specific permissions. Because it's Azure, in normal way, I cannot do, okay, last week I cannot, maybe it's something new? Because Azure changed very frequently? Let's try. What I need to do, create the user and add the special permission on that database for this user. Oh, it's something new. Because previously, even the month ago, I need to connect with this, the different user to get the, to do something with the SQL on the different databases. So I need to check, reconnect. Oh, but okay, it works. So what is the user? Reader user 2016. So backing for the that place, connect as this user for that databases. The password was, do you remember passwords? Something like that. Okay. Special colors because it's the special user. Okay. And connect for that. Okay. School day. Let's try to connect. Excuse me? Okay. Wrong password. Let's check, okay, again. User, okay, that password. Okay, reader ignite, okay. Reader ignite, okay. Okay. No, it shouldn't. Should works. No, reader ignite. And user reader, okay. Reader user 2016. Sorry? Mm-hmm. No, oh, no. I'm also, I'm sure that I have a good right keyboard. Okay. Sorry. Yes. SQL day. Trying to connect for the new one. Okay. Okay, but based on the time. Okay, but generally, if I will solve this problem, yeah, of course, this is a demo. So the user will not see the data. They will see just the part of the credit cards, the last four digits, yes? Because the data are secured by dynamic data masking in Azure. And we talked a little bit about the encryption just a moment ago. So when we're going for the same databases, like a SQL Adventure Works, you saw that when we enable transparent data encryption, it's not that easy sometimes, yes? We missed some of the settings, we missed some of the privileges, something like something. If we have our data inside Azure and we want to enable encryption, we just need to make three clicks. And our data will be enabled, will be encrypted in a moment. It's not a very big database, so a couple of minutes and the data will be encrypted inside the Azure. Okay, I will switch for the last part. How many of you keep your data in Azure? Not that many, no one, okay. For some reasons, yeah, you have a more important data to keep on-premise, for example, yes? Or your legal department say no, don't push them to the Azure because you have a sensitive data and so on and so on. Of course, the Azure is very secure environment. This is a very good link, very good materials about the cloud security approach, about the cloud security in Azure with the Microsoft. There is several regions. I'm very, very happy that Microsoft opened just two new data centers in UK, which will be cheaper for me to use because previously I used the North America most often for my subscriptions. Now I can switch, move my data to UK, which will be cheaper for me. But of course, you have in United States, you have several of those, and they are in the different places in the world. So about 30 regions actually now are open. The newest one, Germany and London and Canada, and the UK and Canada. And of course, security. A lot of certification which Microsoft Azure Data Center passed for the security, for the keeping data secure, for all of the alliance and so on and so on. The list of the certification actually and compliance is very, very big, very, very big, as you see, a lot of those. And for especially for the data, if you look for the ISO 27001, this is a special part for the storage, virtual machines with SQL Server, SQL databases, Active Directory, HD Insight, and more. Of course, I just mentioned that the specific parts which are connected with our data. And of course, the physical data centers. I show you the transparent data encryption, which actually is encrypting our databases, and dynamic data masking. And I will show you one more thing at the end. We're going slowly to the end with the summary. So security in the clouds, and generally security of our standard environment, we still should focus on the standard principles, the best practices, to checking the passwords, to checking audits, to checking user accounts, to checking access. The same security for the SQL Server on-premise, the same security for SQL Server on Azure. We still need to focus on security. Full responsibility for DBA with the virtual machine when we create the virtual machine on Azure. Partial responsibility for SQL Azure databases because they are updated automatically, for example, by Microsoft. So some of the settings are set up automatically in the SQL Azure databases by Microsoft. New functionality implemented on-premise for SQL Server 16 and, of course, in Azure. Sometimes some of the incompatibilities with the SQL, with the T-SQL, with the functions, with the stored procedures, and so on. If you do you work with the hybrid environment, that you have part of your environment in your on-premise and part somewhere else, maybe not in Azure, maybe on AWS. Yes. So if you not, or if you want to go, if you start to go thinking about that, think about the three pillars of the securing hybrid cloud environment, and think about the risk assessments with the cloud provider, with some definitions of the risk, assessments of the current status, assessments of the risk profile, policy and compliance, how they work with that subject. And of course, you can ask them about the transparency. So what is the governance level, compliance and audits, information management, security, business continuity and disaster recovery, and so on and so on. Data center, encryption key management, virtualization, and that kind of settings. You can always ask your providers about that part. Recommendations, create a new role as an information manager if you have, for example, places where you share information like a SharePoint, someone who will be responsible to manage your security data. Who decides which kind of data should be secured? Who is responsible in your company? Is the responsibility of the DBA? Or someone of like a security officer? Maybe more security officer. And maybe security officer have no that much experience with the SQL Server. Yeah, so you need to, of course, collaborate with that person. Automate risk controls, audit users and data activities, and so on and so on. Some of the links at the end, which you can go. Of course, the application is uploaded now. Presentation is uploaded now on the Microsoft Ignite portal, so you can download it in the moments. I will upload the code for this presentation. You can use this for testing if you want. So some of the links about the security, Trust Microsoft Azure Security, and Microsoft Azure Trust Center, and of course links for this open source security testing methodology manual. Links for the SQL Server Best Practices Analyzer and Best Practice Analyzer for Windows and for SQL Server. The Microsoft SQL Server Best Practice Analyzer give you information, it is the free tool, give you information how you create your environment and how your backup is secure. So for example, they will check what is the location of your backup and they will give you information, okay, you should move the backup somewhere else. I saw several times default installation of SQL Server. So default installation means that everything is the C partition, system partition, in almost the same folder, yes? Which is not, of course, not good. Security assessments tools, all of those tools are free. So a lot of those you can use for managing and increasing your security. Windows service accounts and permissions, server configurations, all of those links for the Azure security resources, privacy, compliance. Again, some of the resources for Azure. Two good articles about the passwords and about the CEO. And it's almost finished. How many of you use that functionality? Like registered servers. This is very good functionality. We can execute simple one query once across all of our instances. That's no matter where the instances are. So you can easily do some of the settings like max DOP, blocking some of the procedures, blocking some of the users, create the users, delay the users, so on, across all of our instances. So if I look like, for example, that one, I have a connection for 5 of 8 of my instances. Yeah, that's accurate. That error is expected because I'm sorry. Very, very sorry. Yeah, OK. Registered servers here. So I created different groups for my instances. And I can run, for example, simple query across all of my instances, for example, in the cloud, all of my service in the cloud, all of my instances on Earth, so on-premise, and all of my instances together, if I want. So for example, when I use this functionality, I will get that error which is expected because 3 of my instances are not connected now. And with simple one information, I got result of all of my instances. Of course, I can use anything, several different. This is just the simple asking about the version. How much you trust your Windows administrators? They are privileged user in environment. You don't have that much access for Windows Server that they have. So what is the connection with that? When we look for the special place, like system users, and for example, users which I use now, that one, there is nothing here. When I switch option for show me hidden files of the system, I will see special folder which is updata. Yes? You know that folder probably. So inside this folder, roaming, Microsoft, we have two places which you as a DBA should protect against the users like a Windows administrators. In Microsoft SQL Server, the latest options, tools, shell, you have files like recsrv.xml. This is the file which store information about your registered servers, but not only. When you open this with that kind of application, you can get the simple XML, but you have information about your connection for your registered servers, like that one. Oh, here are the groups. For example, registered servers. And here are exactly our instances. The first 4 are on my on-premise. The last 3, they are at the groups. And when we go for this file, with this file, finally, we will find information how the users which use registered servers, or the DBA, connect to the registered servers. So we can find information, for example, about the credential, passwords, logins, and credentials for that. Of course, the passwords are not shown in the clear text, but we can use different tools to find this. But we know information, for example, is encrypted, connection, false. So we know that the connection for one of my Inazuma, for example, instance, is not encrypted. So that if we have a man in the middle person which get access for this, they can discover connections and they try to find information and the listening, what's happening inside our SQL Server. When we look for the instances on Azure, we have more. We have exactly the name of the instance, the name of our server, and we have the name of the server. We have an ID. So Koprowski is my username. This is the name for the server administrator, the login for the server administrator. And we have a password stored in the hash. So if we have a tool which we can use for using the hashes to pass the hash, so it's possible to trying to get that password to access. And this file is available for each of the Windows administrator. Yes? It's very, very, very important. There is a second place. I have 5 minutes only, so I'm just going to finish. There is a second place which I want to show. Almost in the same folder, SQL Server Management Studio, the latest version, and SQL Studio Bin, that folder. There is generally almost nothing here, except not that one. It's almost not readable, yeah? Almost not readable. But before we know what is the username for the servers, so I can easily try to find some details. About the settings for the connection for the SQL Server with the hashes. Both files are stored in the local user roaming profile, with the local user profile, and of course they are available for each of the administrators which have access for the Windows system. Yes? Of course, those files are on my machine, but as a DBA, I'm not responsible in the company for keeping this machine working mode. The Windows administrator is responsible for the Windows, yes, even for that machine. Yeah? So generally speaking, this is two places which you should focus from the DBA point of view. You can find some of the information how to get access for the SQL Server instances, especially in the cloud. Okay? After session, you can find me anywhere. I will be here, of course, at the Ignite. I will be at the booth of the Microsoft booth tomorrow morning. So if you have more questions, so you can easily comment, ask. We will be happy to help to solve all the problems and so on. As you see, I travel a lot. Even in the hotel, I'm connected. So you can easily find me. Free resources for IT Pro, Cloud Map, Plan Your Career, Get Started with Azure, demos and how-to videos, connect with peers and experts, and so on. Integrate all of those, share your information, connect at Ignite, go for the exhibition, go for the Microsoft booths, go for the data management booths. We will be there to discuss, to help, to give you some advices and so on and so on. Links, of course, for that. Please rate the session at the end on the app or on the website. Depends which is your preferred option. And that's all.